This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Kana wa ashhadu an Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Wa ba'du, assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Insha'Allah, we will try to begin the class with the morning dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي. اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى طاعتك. اللهم اختم لنا بالحسن القاتمة ولا تختم علينا بالسوء القاتمة. اللهم ادخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We praise Allah رب العالمين for all the bounties, the ni'mah that Allah have showered upon all of us. And also we keep on asking Allah Rabbul Alameen to make us among the righteous people. Be among the righteous people too, ameen. Because it's very important to be around with righteous people. Even we are not righteous, even we are not good, there is some benefit for those who are always be among the righteous people. And also we ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to make us a people who understand the Quran in the way Allah wants us to understand, in the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have taught us. Because today there's a lot of people who want to get closer to Allah by reading the Quran only and try to understand the Quran directly from the Quran. In the same time, they are not following the Quran, but they claim that they are following the Quran by just reciting the Quran, referring to the Quran, and then they said there's many things that what we are talking about, there's nothing in the Quran. So they will say that anything is not from the Quran, we don't accept. This wrong understanding about the Book of Allah create another fitna to this great ummah. So may Allah Rabbul Alameen give us the right understanding, inshallah. The reason I'm sharing with all the brothers and sisters here today, as we travel, we encounter a lot of people who have different kind of ideas, from different background. They may have good intention, but they are starting to pass judgment, make comments, without really have the right understanding about the teaching of Islam. Example, we know that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, no one can understand the Quran without going back to the Prophet ﷺ. The Quran was revealed to only one man, Muhammad ﷺ. And Allah gave him the authority to explain to the people. لِيُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. For him to explain to the people. If Allah would explain everything very detailed in the Quran, I don't think any one of us want to open the Quran. It's too big, too heavy. But Allah make it simple, but He appoint a prophet, a trusted man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to convey the message. So that's why a lot of time, even in the time of the Prophet, the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba, who were discussing with their Sahaba, not in front of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I have read the Quran many times. I have memorized the whole Quran. But what you are talking about, example, about dogs, about women, there are more women in hellfire compared with men. You don't have all this in the Quran. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu remind him and said, if you will read the Quran again and you will you understand the Quran, you will find all this in the Quran. He said, I've been reading, I've memorized, but still I don't get all the thing that you are sharing with us sometimes, that woman majority will go to hellfire because of this, because of that. You know? So the Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, have you come across one ayah? وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. He said, yes, it's in the Quran. But you don't understand. When Allah is trying to tell us, whatever the messenger convey to you, accept it. There is what Allah said. So if you believe in what Allah said in the Quran, then what the Prophet said, you must believe. Now you are just reciting the Quran without referring to the Prophet, and the Prophet is explaining everything about when Allah allowed him to make the Isra and the Mi'raj, the night journey. Allah showing him what is happening in heaven, in paradise, and in Nar, in Jahannam. But we know that nobody is there yet. But with the will of Allah, Allah seen everything. He know who is going to hell, who is going to paradise. Allah have all the knowledge. But Allah just showed to the Prophet. Anything to do with the unseen, we must remember, no one knows more than Allah. Even our Prophet ﷺ do not know anything about the ghaybiyah, the unseen, until Allah inform him. Remember the ayah when Allah said, يَسْأَلُونَ كَأَنِ الرُّوحِ. When the people of the book asked the Prophet about the ruh, the spirit, the soul. And then Allah revealed the ayah, قُلِ رُوْ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Said to them, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything to do with the spirit, it is in the knowledge of Allah. No one knows more than Allah. Leave it to Allah. Anything to do with the unseen, leave it to Allah. Unless what Allah allowed you to know. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did say, what is going to happen in the future, what is happening today, the fighting, the killing, the war, and all this fitan, the Prophet have foresee this. He have make it clear about alamatul qiyamah, the signs of qiyamah, as-sughra wal-kubra. It's not in the Quran, but this is the knowledge that Allah gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if anybody will say the Prophet knows everything about the unseen, then that is not correct. Yeah? Even the Prophet do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. But whatever Allah gave it to him, then he will share with his ummah. So what Allah said to the believer, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُهُ. Whatever the Prophet bring it to you, convey to you, just accept it. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whenever the Prophet forbid you, stay away. And this is just one ayah. It's just like another ayah when people ask you, if you say everything is written in the book, in the Quran, tell me. If I hold just one handful of flour, how many bread can I make from this flour? One handful of flour. Who can answer? Nobody can answer. When you check the Quran about one handful of flour, you can't get it in the Quran. Then the wise man will go. Now they have an argument before. So with the people of the book, the other believers, he said, you said your book is so complete. Everything there is an answer in the Quran. Now, if I ask you a question, you fail to answer me, then can you all agree that Quran is not perfect? But if you can prove to me that my question, there is an answer in the Quran, we will accept Islam. Is that a good dialogue? Is that a very fair dialogue? Condition? You prove to me my question, there's an answer in the Quran, we will accept Islam. If you cannot, just one question. I want all the Muslims to accept that Quran is not a perfect book. Wow. Do you think we dare to take up the challenge like that for us? Yeah. Normal people, I'm not going to make any commitment on this. No, it's to say the Quran is not perfect is a problem. No? So they give me 1 week. Let me go through again the Quran. No problem, you can take 1 month. Why? Because they also have gone through the Quran. They know the Quran don't talk about one handful of flour. And how many bread you can do, you can make out from one handful of flour. But this guy, Allahu Akbar, Allah give it, you see, Allah, when He want to give wisdom, He give wisdom, and whoever got the wisdom from Allah, he have a lot of khair, a lot of goodness. This guy went to a bread maker and asked this guy, normally one handful of flour, how many bread you can make? You see, what kind of bread you are talking about? Chapati, yeah, or other roti canai. So they asked for a few, good. So when the time comes, everybody was there, all the other scholars who are not yet Muslim was there, they are just waiting. They know we are going to fail, and then they are going to come very hard on the Muslim, yeah, to declare that this Quran is not a perfect book. So they throw the question again. You have the answer? Yes. A lot of people were shocked. Where do you get this answer from the Quran? You know, there are a lot of Hafiz around. They say we have been going through and we now come across a handful of flour. Yeah? Ayat of a handful of flour. So he asked the guy said, yes, a handful of flour, you can make maybe 7, yeah, chapati. Or roti canai, example. They said, yeah, you have some truth, but I want the reference in the Quran. You say, yeah, the reference in the Quran is there. How can you know? Where do you get this answer? In the Quran. Show me the Quran. Allah said, Fas'alu ahli zikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask those who have knowledge, if you knows not. I am not a baker. I am not a roti maker. So I went to the baker and I asked him, and he gave me the answer. That's why the Quran is very perfect. Things you do not know, you have to ask those who know. Those who are specialized in that. And Allah calls us to ask. If you want to know when the moon, to sight the moon and all these things, you don't ask just a mechanic or doctor. You must ask people who are involved in astronomy. You can even check with NASA, who are monitoring the movement of the moon or other galaxy every second. So they will know when is going the eclipse of the sun, where, how long, the eclipse of the moon. You can get information from that. Allah has said, ask those who are specialized in that area. Fas'alu ahli zikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Now this knowledge that I'm sharing with you, brother and sister, is just to make us have a better understanding. By reading the Quran and try to understand the Quran in our own way, you will not be guided. You have to accept what Allah has commanded us to do, to follow His messenger. How the Prophet conveyed the message. Yeah. Lately, we receive a lot of info from friends that they receive this kind of information from their not yet Muslim friend, talking about what going to happen to the woman in the Day of Judgment, and also talking about dogs. Yeah? Then we explain everything to them. They say, we have hard time to answer our friend who are not yet Muslim. It's very confusing. You know, is that written in your book? I said, the Quran normally won't go so detailed. The Quran talk about dog, but the Quran don't talk about hunting dog. The Quran don't talk about what you call hunting dog, shepherd dog, or guard dogs. No, the Quran just talk about the dog that Allah appointed to take care of the people of the cave. Yeah, there's a dog of God. But anyhow, when we explain further, we are trying to make them understand. For people who don't really understand what the Prophet said, then they will always have problem about the Quran. That's why we are here every Wednesday, or Saturday or Sunday, to try to understand Islam in the way Allah wants us to understand through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we're going to continue with the book about funerals. I'm not sure where any one of us here have received this kind of guideline in the event of a death. Have you received this one before? Not yet. No? I think we got this from Al-Qadim. Yeah, in case what to do, we will try to photostat it and distribute it, inshallah. Yeah? Shafiq? We know death is something that nobody can escape. It's a matter of time. You know, we're deeper in time only. When the time comes, everyone has to go. Allah Rabbul Alameen reminds us, what should we do? Allah said, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqin. That's what Allah commands us. Like what Allah said to us, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. Make sure that you're living, you're dying, everything is purely for Allah. You live because of Allah, you want to die because of Allah. Sometimes you want to die because you want to die. But if Allah said no, not yet, you will never die. You can take poison, but you are still alive. Yeah, I've seen that in front of my eye. Some people were so upset. A woman, and she drank poison because she want to die. And now you can see her face turn very pale because the poison that she drank is the poison for the rat. Yeah, poison to kill rat. Yeah. Then immediately I call my friend, say how to solve this problem. They say there is the traditional way. Traditional way, you get coconut water mixed with white clay, mixed with the banana, young banana stem. You press and liquidize it and drink the water. It helped to kill the poison. Alhamdulillah. The white clay. I don't know why they say the white clay seems to have. White clay, you can have it near the river. Near the river, sometimes you find there's a certain area to go. White clay. They're macam ada that kind of their own chemical. Organic chemical. That even coconut water, that's why they say if any of your dogs have some food poisoning, you can give them the coconut water. Coconut water is very powerful. There are many things that Allah have prepared for us, but because we are not exposed to it. Like what the Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَزَرْ دَعْوَ دَعْوَ. When Allah revealed an illness, Allah also prepared a cure for it. there's a lot of R&D going on for medication until now, for medical, because of that. But I'm just sharing with you this, what I experienced before. Alhamdulillah. But you don't try. Yeah? Don't go and take the poison and try. You don't do that. There are certain things you can try, there's something you don't try. Now, if I'm not wrong, today we are going to talk about page 80. Is that true? We have an off date for 1 week, I think. We was, page 80. Anybody who remember? Yeah, page 80. We have two sisters who always remember. And they are not here today. Yeah, may Allah make it easy for them, inshallah. And we have also brothers who are not well. We have been making dua. We hope all the sisters and brothers, so don't forget to make dua to our jama'ah, the families, who is not well. May Allah cure them as soon as possible. And those who are not back from traveling, may Allah make their journey a safe one, inshallah. Everyone will be tested according to their own iman. So may Allah save us from great fitan, inshallah. Execution by an oppressive rulers. Jabir bin Abdullah reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't forget to make salawat upon our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name has been mentioned, said, Sayyidul Shuhada innallah Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, the chief of Shaheed, among the people who die as Shaheed, the chief of them, as well as a man who stand, is Hamza. Hamza is the one who stand up to fight, and he was killed in the battle of Uhud. As well as a man who stand before an unjust ruler, commanding and forbidding him doing what is wrong, remind him to do what is right, and the ruler, and not happy with him, kills him. This is a great jihad. Kalimatul haq in the sultan Jair, in other hadith, the Prophet said, is a man who dare to stand up, to speak up what is right, in front of a very rude, powerful ruler, a tyrant ruler like Pharaoh, example. Who dared to stand up and talk to Pharaoh? Moses. And Moses is a man who are not very good in his speech. Gagap. As well, when he look at somebody, he start to feel. He don't have that confidence. But then that's why Moses asked Allah, that Allah can allow his brother Harun to be with him. And that's why the dua qala rabbi israhli sadri wa yassirli amri wa halul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli was recited. Because sometimes when you want to say something behind the person's back, you dare to say this and that. When you stand in front of the guy who have authority, your tongue tight already, all the word went missing. You don't know what to say because of the fear you have, So the Prophet is trying to tell us, when a man, especially a scholar, who know what is happening, what a man who have authority is doing is so wrong, as considered as a zalim. So you must help him also by reminding him. Mazlum, those who have been oppressed, you help them by call them to go away, stay away. Go and hide yourself. Stay away from this tyrant leader so that they don't find you and that they won't torture you. So you help both parties. But most of us don't have that kind of courage today. We are brave to talk about people behind their back, but not in front. Because there's a lot of other bullets that is waiting. You make a wrong move, they are going to shoot you already. Sometimes we make a lot of mistakes because of that. We thought that what we feel is wrong, but what they do is not wrong sometimes. only from our angle, because our knowledge about what is happening is so limited. We look from our angle. They are looking from the other angles. So it's not easy to pass judgment to anybody. No? Somebody was sharing with me also, said, what is this? You know, people are sending this videotape. Scholar is commenting about this person go to hell, that go to hell, with all the support, the evidence from the Quran. I said, the Quran in general there is, but detail is from the Prophet. But the way they say is all from the Quran, I said, no, you must have the wrong understanding by yourself. Go through again and understand. You'll see that the detail will not come from the Quran. It's always from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they get very confused. If there is a case, no, how can man? Now, Muslim now is having doubts because of this message. We ourselves is having doubts now. So we have to make them understand. When you have doubts, you cannot just make any comment or make any conclusion. You must overcome your doubts. With what? With the right knowledge. Not with your own thinking. Your rational cannot help you sometimes. Because a lot of the unseen matter, the future, you just cannot understand why. But Allah knows best. Allah talk about the future. Allah talk about paradise, about hell. Who's been there? None of us been there. No. So you just have to have the right understanding. So it is important, brothers and sisters, that if you know something is very wrong, if you know and you are sure, you have the knowledge, the evidence, then you have the right to say, to speak out. When you speak out the truth, is that easy, brothers and sisters, to speak the truth? Very difficult. Husband and wife also have problem. That is just between, we are so close, also we have problem. How about just we as a normal people with the authority? With the king. With the emperor. Even to get close to them is so difficult. And when you are in front of them, they said, what do you want to say? I don't know what to say. We pray for you, my leader. Immediately you change your topic, we pray for you. But you have to say what is right. Imam Shafi'i was tested with that. And he was called to meet the leader in his time, the Amir. And before the Amir want to say any, ask him anything, he asked the Amir to allow him to have his freedom, because he was chained. He was brought in front of the Amir. And the leg was chained, like a prisoner. Then he cleared his name, alhamdulillah. But the good side is that the leader, they themselves want to hear from the scholars. They don't want to hear from hearsay anymore. Before he passed a judgment, he want to know from the imam himself, the scholar himself. Alhamdulillah. That is good. When he heard what Imam Shafi'i said, he said, from today onwards, nobody can cause harm to you. I will protect you. I will not allow any fitan to come to you anymore. Sometimes, we don't say a lot of things, but people is starting to create fitna to us, using our name. We know this happens always in our daily life. We may not say something, they say, oh, so and so said so. It's not from us. May Allah protect us, inshallah. That's why the Prophet in other hadith said, one of the greatest jihad is Kalimatul Haq in the Sultan Jair. You dare to speak out the truth in front of a very tyrant leader. There's a saying, we do not agree with political dictatorship. We believe in royal dictatorship. Think about that first. We talk about that later. praised by righteous Muslim. When a minimum of two righteous, knowledgeable and truthful Muslim praise a dead person with good things based on their acquaintance with him, their knowledge with him, when they mix around with him, this guarantees Jannah for that dead person. Allahu Akbar. This is why we are reminding all the good sisters and brothers, it is a blessing, even you are not good, but you always be around good people. Yeah? The Prophet ﷺ did mention about two kind of people. One is a blacksmith, and one is a perfume seller. No, those who have perfume shop, and you are not using any perfume, you just stay in a shop and you're selling perfume only. Yeah? You see, you get the smell, the good smell. Yeah? But you are not doing anything in the blacksmith, you are just there only, or with the workers. You see, you get this. It's like if you don't smoke, you are in a smoke room, smoking room. You don't know what is going to happen after you come out from that smoking room. You know, your whole body smell. Yeah, sell cigarette. You know? Example. That's why they say be among the good people. Anas and Abu Hurairah, two of the best companions of the Prophet ﷺ, reported that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ passed by a funeral and praised the dead person for good things that he did. That means the dead person have been doing something good. Others also follow and praise him, saying, as far as we know, he loved Allah and his messenger. Look at this. As far as we know, the companion was there, that this dead person loved Allah and the Prophet ﷺ. Allah's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wajabat, granted what? Granted paradise. Whoever end his life loving Allah, believing in Allah, and love our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and try the best to do what the Prophet wanted them to do, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grant them Jannah. Make dua for them. Yeah. On another occasion, he, Prophet Muhammad, passed by a funeral and someone condemned the dead person for bad thing that he did. Other followed and condemned him, saying, what a bad person he was indeed in adhering to Allah's deen. That means people know he had been so disobedient, so ungrateful, so bad, so arrogant, and people are confirming that. Then the Prophet also said, granted, meaning that means he have a bad ending. I believe all of us do a lot of good things, alhamdulillah, yeah? But it's also important to be in good company, because sometimes you do good thing without people knowing you are doing good. It's very good, of course. It's Allah who will reward you without anybody's saying that you are good. Because like what the Prophet ﷺ did said, yeah? One of the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the shade in a day of judgment when there's no other shade, is a person who give out charity, the right hand give up and left hand knows not. Nobody knows. They got a special reward too, that is directly from Allah Rabbul Alameen. But this, like us who have a lot of bad thing also with us. We are good, bad, bad, good again. No? So it's also good to be with good people. Yeah, some people say, I know him. You know, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, one of the things that can help us in the day of judgment, when you always pray together, you may hajj, you may umrah, you do all the righteous thing together. In the day of judgment, if any one of you will go to Jannah first, then we will say to Allah, oh Allah, I just cannot go there alone. You know, this is my brothers, this is my sisters in Islam. They pray with us. No, they make umrah with us. They fast with us. I just cannot just go in without they. I want them to come with me too. This is when Allah grant us the shafa'ah through our righteous deeds. That's why it's good to be among the righteous people. Allah said, "Wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin." if you want to be righteous, you be among the righteous, then sooner or later you become righteous. The percentage may differ, but it's easy for you to be a righteous person. If you only want to speak what is right, you be with the people who only speak what is true, then you always speak what is right. But if you want to be a liar, a gossiper, so you stay among the gossiper. You pick up a lot of things. Then you end up to be a gossiper. If you become a person who like to judge person, you just be among the group who like to make judgment, and you become very judgmental. You start to condemn everybody. That's how we have to adjust ourselves, brother and sister. May Allah give us the humbleness to try our best to be among the good people. Traveling with the good people, you can benefit a lot. Be around the good people, you can see. Each time you are be with those who are good people, it benefit you. Because what they talk is something that benefit us. They don't waste time. They don't want to talk about other people. Let it strengthen our iman. This is a very important subject. When you meet with each other, the first thing that you have to think of, how can we strengthen our iman? Because at the end of the day, the only thing that can save us from hellfire and go to paradise is our iman. The Prophet said, لَا تَدْخُلُ جَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. Nobody can enter paradise without iman. Without friend, you also can go to Jannah, if you have the iman. And then the Prophet said, وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. Just this sentence is good enough for us. You cannot have the right iman. You cannot have the sweetness of iman until you learn how to love each other. The power of what? The power of love. We love each other for the wrong reason. No. We must love for the sake of Allah. Remember what the Prophet said, Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. Can we continue? This hadith I shared with all of you years already. Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah wa a'ta lillah wa man'a lillah faqad istaqmala al-iman. If you want to make sure your iman is sound, is good, then you must have that feeling. You love each other for the sake of Allah. When you love somebody, you are not judgmental anymore. If they are wrong, you try to correct them. If they are weak, you help them. If they are ignorant, you teach them. You are not going to let them down. It's like you love your children. You never let your children down. You are always there for your children. Whatever happens, you are always there for them. Even they don't want you to be around, you are still around. Yeah. Sometimes they say, enough. I don't need mommy to be there to monitor me. I'm big enough. But they will be around. Because they love you. It's because of the love. You will understand that, children will understand when they become mother. Now they don't understand. But when they become mother, they will try to understand. Because of the power of love. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. And this is important. Yeah. We must love for the right reason. Then you can see that Allah Rabbul Alameen will bless us. Yeah? Inshallah. Yeah? Look at what Omar radiallahu anhu said. I would sacrifice my father and my mother for you, Ya Rasulullah. When we passed by a funeral of a person who was praised for good deeds, you said, granted. Just say one something good. And when we pass by a funeral of a person who was blamed for bad deeds, you say, granted. Because you are not supposed to lie. You are not supposed to be a false witnesses. That's why when you are praying a funeral prayer, normally, in the time of the Prophet, whoever come attend a funeral, and there are some people just talk good about the deceased, the angel will bring up this prayer and offer it to Allah. Allah knows, of course. But the angels is representing this good thing to Allah. And Allah accepts it. But the one who say this must be the person who knows. That's why the funeral prayer today, after the funeral prayer, they ask, What do you say towards this mayat funeral? And we who do not know him also, good. That is not right. That is not the way. If people that we know, we say, MashaAllah, he's a good friend of mine. He has been so kind, so helpful, so faithful, so obedient. He loved Allah, he loved the Prophet. You don't have to go in detail. Just say that he loved Allah. And he was trying his best to improve himself. Even, remember, I want all of us to be very careful. We may be better than them in many ways. Because we are learning, we are praying, because and our environment helps us. They are in the wrong environment. Even how bad they are, the environment, they may not be that bad. The environment is bad. But they may not be that bad. They still have some good things. Now, people are asking, how can we, when a woman don't dress themselves, don't cover their aura properly, they'll go to hell, they'll be punished. Then how many women will go to hell? How many women will go to paradise? Those women who make up and commit zina of themselves, expose their beauty in front of the non-mahram, again, it's a sin. The woman commits sin every day when they leave their house. Now, people who don't cover themselves yet properly, if they do not deny that covering of their aura is an obligation, may Allah forgive their weaknesses. But when they deny, then it's an act of kufr, disobedience. If you can't do what Allah wants you to do yet, but you admit that this is what Allah wants me to do, I know it's wajib, but the weakness of my iman, caused me not to act upon it, Allah still forgive you, because we admit our weaknesses, but do not go against Allah's command. Example, if a person don't want to fast, do he commit a sin? Yes. But he admit fasting is wajib. I know Ramadan is wajib. I'm struggling. May Allah forgive him for that. But he said, fasting is not wajib anymore. It's only for those people, last time, when ancient time, yeah. Because now we have feeling, we have feeling to the poor, to the needy, I don't need to fast anymore. No, fasting is wajib. And there are people who don't pray, they say, I'm very good. Even they don't pray, but I'm a very good person. I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't do other bad things. There are people who are praying, but they always lie to people. What is the point? You pray and you lie and you cheat. And they have some truth. But you cannot deny that prayer is fardu. I end this example with few of the hadith I shared with all of you before. You know the ending of one man and one woman who have been so bad. The woman was a prostitute. All the time her profession is selling her body. But because she saved, she gave some water to the thirsty dogs. Dogs, not animal, not human, dogs. Allah forgive all her past sin and grant her Jannah. Allahu Akbar. See the mercy of Allah. She may not be a very pious person. She may be doing a lot of sins every day in day out. But because she showed mercy to Allah's creation, a dog. I don't think we like to deal with dogs. No? We may show mercy with cats, but not dogs. Yeah, we throw stone at dogs. Yeah. This is to show us, no, don't be judgmental. But when you want to say about a dead person, make sure that you know what you are saying. We Chinese people sometimes have different values. When the guy is so bad, nobody talk good about them. So then we get a hire a group of people, give them money. And this group will come, will talk good, and will cry. They will cry, you know, while they are following the funeral to show that, wow, so many people miss this dead man, you know. See, they are crying, but they cry because they are paid to cry. And that kind of, this is false, yeah, witnesses. We don't do that. Yeah? Look at this hadith. Allah's messengers replied, a deceased from whom you praise will be granted Jannah, and he whom you condemn will be granted hellfire. The angels are Allah's witnesses in the heaven, and you, the believers, are Allah's witnesses on earth. Allahu Akbar. Shuhada ala nas. That's why in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, we was made by Allah as shuhada ala nas. وَيَكُونَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا in the day of judgment. Our prophet will be a witness upon all of us. You are Allah's witnesses on earth. You are Allah's witnesses on earth. The prophet repeat. Verily, Allah has angels who speak upon the tongue of the human beings, telling of any good or evil that is in a person. Now what did the prophet say? Allah has angels who speak upon the tongue of the human being. Mean the angel will help us also sometime. Will remind us about the good person. Remember what Allah said in other surah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah is telling us those who are consistent in their belief. Whatever you are praying, you are attending classes, like learning, you are very consistent, istiqamah. You always remember Allah. Consistently you are in contact with Allah. You try your best to learn the hadith of the Prophet and follow the teaching of the Prophet in whatever way you can. Very consistent. You know? And when you want to die, the first thing that is going to happen, Allah will send angels. Angel will be sent to you and whisper to you, don't fear, no fear and no worry, because Allah is going to reward with you Jannah. Allah have promised you, if you die believing in Allah and believing in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teaching, you will die as a people of paradise. Allah said that. تَنَنَّزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ أَلَّا تَقَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا. The angel will come and tell you, وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. He is going to tell you, you are going to paradise. This is what you are asking and you dream for. Allah have granted you what you want. Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. But if you are at the wrong party, they will also come and tell you. You just have to prepare. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, those who are dead today, who have been buried and been transferred to Alam Barzah, and they are bad guy, they do not want Qiyamah to happen. They are praying and asking Qiyamah, please don't happen yet. Because they know Qiyamah, if one it happen, there is the end. Now they are not in Jahannam yet. They are in a hot room, but not in Jahannam. And the people who are good people, they are just waiting, when is Qiyamah? When is Qiyamah? Because they just waiting to go to paradise. You remember the dua of one guy who was the last to enter paradise? You know, when Allah purified them, then he said, you just get me out from hell enough, oh Allah. I don't want more than that. I just want to get me out from hellfire. So Allah granted him. Is that what you want? That's all? Yes, that's all. That's all. Then Allah get him out from hell. Just outside hellfire. Then after some time say, oh Allah, can you get me closer to Jannah? Not going to Jannah, yet close to the gate of Jannah. Then Allah said, you promised me that that's all you want. And now after some time you ask me again, you have break your promise. Oh, you know Allah, your mercy, can you just get me closer? With the mercy of Allah, get him closer. Now he's far, not outside Jahannam. He's far from Jahannam and close to Jannah, but not to Jannah yet. But now he hear the sound of the people enjoying in Jannah. He can hear now, but he is not there. He say, oh Allah, can you get me closer to the gate of Jannah? To the gate only. Yeah, just the doorstep. With the mercy of Allah, Allah granted him. He said, enough. It's enough for me. Then after that, he said, oh Allah, can you let me enter Jannah? Allah's mercy, mashaAllah. Allah love, we keep on asking. Can you imagine? This is the sign to show Allah's mercy. Don't give up with Allah. Never give up. How bad you are today, ask Allah to forgive us, help us. Yeah, inshallah, yeah, we have a good ending. Abu al-Aswad al-Dili reported that he went to Al-Madinah during the rule of Umar, when the second Khalifa, Umar ibn Khattab, was the Khalifa. At that time, there was an outbreak of disease in Madinah, causing people to die in large numbers. He visited Umar and was sitting with him when a funeral procession passed by. The deceased was praised by some people, and Umar said, granted. He asked him, what do you mean by granted, O commander of the believers? He replied, I just said what the Prophet ﷺ said. And the hadith go like that. Ayuma muslimun shahida lahu arba'atun biqairin udqilahu Allahu al-jannah. Whenever four Muslims testify on behalf of a dead Muslim, Allah will let him to Jannah. All these are signs, brother and sister, that we should get involved with the Jama'ah. Don't be by yourself. It's good to be with the Jama'ah, with the good Jama'ah. Yeah? We asked him, Omar, how about three Muslims? And Omar also replied what the Prophet said. Thalasu. We asked him, how about two Muslims? He replied, two also is sufficient. Three, two also sufficient. But we did not ask him about one. Now let us go back to the last hadith about this. Abu Hurairah reported that Allah's messenger said, the meaning, any Muslim who died and four of his closest neighbors testified that they only know good about him, Allah said, I accept your testimony and forgive that which you do not know about him. See how beautiful the saying of the Prophet. There's a lot of things we do not know about the person sometimes. In front of us, he seems to be good. It's just like our children in front of us, we also don't know, but outside people praise our children. Wow, how a good son you have. But we do not know what kind of son he is at home. No, causes to have all the blood pressure, all the tension every morning. But whatever you do not know, leave it to Allah. But Allah just want you to say something good. And that's why the Prophet said, Man yu'min billah yawmal akhir, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْلِيَسْمُنْ. Whoever believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, when you say anything, say what is good. If not, your silence is more important. Your silence is more. But to be silent is really a jihad. And to control your tongue is not easy, brothers and sisters. it should be noted that A, the testimony indicated in the above hadith is not limited to the Sahaba, but applies as well to the believers who come after them, any one of us, following their way in faith, knowledge, and truthfulness. Number 2b, even though the last hadith requires 4 Muslim witnesses, the previous hadith of Umar reduced this requirement to 2, because there are also other hadiths. C, some people are prompted during funeral to testify about the good deeds of a deceased person, even though they do not have knowledge or acquaintance with him. They ignorantly think that this would benefit him. This is indeed an ugly innovation in the deen, because the only useful testimony is that which is conducted based on witness true knowledge of the situation, as it clearly indicated in the first hadith of Anas. Now that is a very important thing, yeah? That's why when you are going to any funeral prayer, when people ask you, apa kata kamu terhadap mayat ini, you do not know, just silent. That's all. Yeah? A lot of people, you say, bye. This is called false witnesses. And according to Islam, if you become a false witness, you also have another problem. No, it's dangerous. If you are used to that, then anytime people can buy you over. No. Just an example, can you be a witness to protect the dignity of a woman? If the husband or somebody say, this woman is so bad, she commit all this adultery, and can you have 4 witnesses? Do you think it's easy to implement a hudud, a punishment for adultery? Very difficult. It never happened in the time of the Prophet that they arrested anybody. It only happened when they come and admit the one who commit this sin at night. No one knows except they. And then she herself come and confess to the Prophet, and the Prophet do not want to entertain her at all. To show you, it's not easy to say, oh, hudud is just punishing. It's not easy. You must have 4 male witnesses with 8 eyes. That means 4 pairs of eyes. And you must test their eyesight first. Send them to the eye clinic and check how far is the distance. You must have all this. Examine, you must make sure that these witnesses do not lie. And then you the light, what kind of light is there in the room? You are outside the room and you arrest and you accuse them. Then you don't have that right. That's why it never happened in the time of Prophet, people go and just break in people's room and arrest people for committing this khalwa. No, but we love to do that. You know, if they commit a sin hidden, may Allah forgive them. We are not there to judge them. Allah have a better judgment. Yeah, but being human, we just want to show our authority, and it's very bad. Yeah. That's why the Prophet gave us another guide us against it. If any Muslim see any wrongdoing from another Muslim, accidentally, so it happened that you saw, what should you do? Islamically, what should we do? What should we do, brother and sister? Immediately you send messages around, online. Immediately you ask Allah for protection. Save you and save that brother or that sister. May Allah protect them. And what did the Prophet say? Man satara musliman. Whoever cover the mistakes, the sin of another Muslim, for the sake of Allah. Not to encourage them, say, oh good, you have the right. No. Then Allah Rabbul Alameen will cover your weaknesses in this life and the hereafter. See the great reward that Allah prepared for us. Then how can we judge another person? There's no way to judge a person. We don't have time to check on people's mistakes. We are going to die sooner or later. It's time for us to look into ourselves. Save yourself. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save your soul and your family. What can you do? You just focus on that and move in the right jama'ah. You will see there's a lot of blessing. When you're down, somebody will bring you up again, inshallah. Because nobody is 100% bad. And nobody can say, I'm 100% good. Yeah, we have our good time, bad time, our strength here, our weaknesses here and there. So may Allah give us the right spirit, to be good to ourselves and to be good to others. What you love for yourself, you love for others. That's why the Prophet said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب ليقيم يحب لنفسه. You cannot be a true believer until you learn how to love others what you love for yourself. You love to be honored. You love to be respected. You love people to talk good about you. The same thing, you honor, you respect, and you talk good about others. Is that easy, brothers and sisters? Is that easy? If you are in the right jama'ah, inshallah. The good jama'ah will encourage you, will remind you. So may Allah guide all of us and make us among the people who love to be among the people who are good, so that all of us will have a good ending, inshallah. If there's any question and answer, now we open for Q&A. Fadda. Yes, Sister Zarina. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Okay. Yes, no. What the Prophet is telling us and from the companion is when the thing is happening. When the funeral is there in front of us, we are there to witness the dead person. Of course, for those who are not there, later on they come to know about somebody who is their friend who passed away, and they may say something good. It applies. It applies anytime when there is a people who talk good about them. Correct? Yeah, because by doing that, you are helping them. Because they may not know the goodness of the close one. You see, sometimes, like what I said, our children may not be so good at home, but they seem to be very good with their friend. And then now their friend is the one who come and tell us, do you know your son? It may give us some kind of inner peace. We are worried about them already, But now somebody say, no, your son, your daughter was so kind, so helpful, and they have helped my children to pray. I'm very proud, that my children be friends with your children, because through your children, my children learn how to pray. Sometimes there are many things that we don't know. So I share with you one thing that is happening. There is a family, very elderly family. They've been a very good person lately, because one party has been very weak. They can't move anymore. They hardly want to go out. But alhamdulillah, he trusts the other party, you go out. Go and be active with the people. Because if not, then people may not know what is happening to us. So one party will go out and be very active, offer a helping hand, and people love that particular person because they are so active in the community work. We believe that By doing that, it helps. When you can do a lot, and somebody who are still healthy can do, encourage them to do. Don't be too selfish. Stay back, just take care of me. If they can do something good, then may the goodness that they are doing also help us, because we are the one who encourage them. You understand that? No? We should encourage. We don't want our children to be too passive, too selfish, too greedy sometimes. Yeah. It's just like in general, power is not bad. Money, wealth is not bad. You have power, you can do more with the power you have, the authority. The money you have, you can contribute more. But what is bad is greediness and selfishness. That is very bad. When the greed comes into place, everything goes haywire. Now, the kunut.
Yes. Apart from the recommended sunnah doa, kunut specific, right? Is it permissible for you to do your own doa?
Kunut?
Yes. So what is the minimum? Can you just say Rabbi Rilly, Arab? Is that enough for kunut? Or is it maybe you want to
do? No. Okay. Now, when you talk about kunut, the standard kunut is known to all of us, yeah? Very popular one, Allahumma dini fi man hadait, that's the popular one. The rest of the kunut is really up to us. The Prophet never fixed, but kunut also means dua. Correct. But the kunut that we are talking is not for the kunut of Fajr here, it's a general kunut, yeah? For witr prayer. The kunut of witr prayer do not apply only in Ramadan. It applies every night if you think you want to make kunut, but only according to the sunnah, the Prophet do not make kunut witr in each ritual prayer. Not every witr he make kunut. That's why even in Ramadan, not every night we do kunut. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't do, because it's a sunnah. With kunut, also sunnah. Without kunut, also is a sunnah of the Prophet. But the content of the kunut, of course, you can change according to your needs. Yeah, according to your needs. In Arabic. Yes. What you're asking. Yeah. Yeah. No, you ask for help, for peace. No. Yeah, no problem. No, you can. Yeah, can. Can, yes, any dua. Yes, yeah. Anything that you ask, you see, what we love to ask Allah is to ask for His mercy. Keep on asking Allah to forgive us, strengthen our iman, yeah, protect us, our children, the ummah, from greater fitan. Yeah. There's many du'a for you to recite. Even you recite, Allahumma inna na'uzubika min azabi jahannam. If you want to recite, you can recite. But always remember, when you are making kunut in the jama'ah, don't be too lengthy. Don't be too lengthy. Make it simple, because the Prophet loved things that is simple when you are in the jama'ah. And when you are reciting aloud, then the ma'mum can say, Amin. The only thing, should you say Amin aloud, not necessary. You can say Amin aloud, you can say Amin without raising your voice. It's like Jumaat prayer. The Imam is going to give dua in the second khutbah. The imam will end with a dua. Yeah? Who said Ameen? The ma'mum. But you don't say Ameen, Ameen. Not necessary. You just say Ameen within. You don't even have to raise up your hand. Even the imam don't raise his hand. There are certain time when you make dua, you don't raise your hand. For the Hanafis, majority of Hanafi, when they make kunut for witir, they don't raise up their hand. Because it's not necessary. But if somebody want to raise up, you can raise up. There's no issue in that. We don't. To raise up your hand or not to raise up your hand. Yes, it's not wrong. Yeah? Because the Prophet sometimes made dua without raising his hand up, sometimes he raised up his hand. Yeah? So, this is the thing that we like to share. It's good that the sister is asking about kunut. Of course, not necessary for you to follow the fixed kunut. If you want to, yes, or you can do that and plus something that you want from Allah Rabbul Alamin. There are times the Prophet will make kunut for a group of people. Just for that group of people. Because something happened to them, so the Prophet will make a special kunut for them. You remember what happened at first, the kunut, that kunut nazila. The Prophet was making kunut nazila 1 month. For who? For the group of people, the hypocrites, who have killed more than 70 khufas. The Prophet was so upset. He trusted them. And this is also the sign to show us that the Prophet do not know about the unseen. He cannot read the heart of the person. No, even they are hypocrites. If Allah do not inform the Prophet do not know how bad these people is. They came and asked for teachers. People who have memorized Quran to come and teach their people. Their intention is to kill these people. And this of course hurt the Prophet a lot. Because these are the delegates that the Prophet appointed to send over. And they kill all of them. So may Allah, this is a sign that if the Prophet can know about the unseen, he should have stopped them. No, no, you are a munafiq. We will not allow anybody to go back with you. Yeah. These are sciences. Naam. Yes. Naam. Yeah. Because the qunut of Allahumma dini fi man hadait, if you go back to the hadith of that Allahumma dini, was taught by the Prophet to the grandchildren Hussein Hassan to be recited for witr prayer. For witr prayer. No. Pardon? For Fajr. No, if you want to do Fajr kunut, it's not fixed. Fajr kunut is also a dua. It's not fixed like Allahumma dina fi man hadait. The kunut that the Prophet taught Hussein and Hassan was for witr. Allahumma dina fi man. But if you want to apply that for Fajr, it's a kunut, it's a dua. You don't fix it. If you want to do kunut, but don't fix it. Yeah, when you fix it, become an act of ibadah. Yeah, no problem, inshallah. Yeah. And the last one from other sisters. Any last question for other sisters? Naam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's the zikr. No, normally when the Prophet see the person who have time to do the normal zikr, he will encourage them to do the normal. For those who are rushing and busy, they may complain, you know, then the Prophet show you another version. But it's highly recommended to recite what the Prophet ﷺ normally taught us to recite, only to show us another way out. If you're so busy, there's another shortcut one. But don't get used to that and then you ignore the other. You have to make sure that, and there's also a way to show us that. Don't be judgmental. Oh, you see that guy, I don't like to make zikir. So fast finished already. Yeah, he chose, because they have their urgency. They have things that they have to attend to, let them go. Don't force them to stay with you to make that kind of zikir, the long zikir. Yeah, so this is way that the Prophet always show us how that we can train ourselves. That's why there's no excuse to say, I have no time. There's no excuse. You can't do the long one, short one. But don't go all the time short one. Yeah, it's just some kata, the backup for certain urgencies. And yeah, so may Allah help us, brothers and sisters. And once again, we wish all of you the best. And we pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us help. And also increase our wealth so that we can do more for the sake of Allah Rabbul Alameen. And please make dua for all of us. And also make dua for those who are not well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them strong. And so that they can come back and join us for activities inshallah. After this, you can just collect one piece of each of you about the, what you can do, when there's an emergency of death happen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Past each one.